The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said, that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Open our hearts, O loving Lord. Grant us grace to leave the tomb and to step into your mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and faithful friend. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, welcome to worship on this Easter day. I am Father David. I am the rector here at All Saints of the Desert. It's wonderful to welcome you. If you're visiting with us, please join us after for a wonderful meal and introduce yourself. Introduce yourself as together we celebrate this wonderful day, this Easter day, the resurrection of our Lord. I love that John's gospel is assigned as the gospel reading for today because John captures the essence of the meaning, not only of the birth, the life, ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus. He captures it in a way that draws our attention into this broader story that is the good news, the revealing of God's love to the world. Because John begins with the same language as Genesis, in the beginning. To situate what we read in the Gospel of John within that broader story is to invite us to imagine a God that invites us in not only to be listeners, but also to participate in the unfolding life, love, and mission of God in this world. John's gospel is quick to point out that this story, the good news, is one of a God who moves toward us in covenant, constantly seeking us out, looking to be with us, looking for us like a shepherd goes after lost sheep. That tender shepherd that goes looking, leaves the 99 to go after the one. John reminds us of a tender, loving Lord that is relentless and undaunted, even by a cross. And so on this resurrection day, John would have us go to that place that seems like the end of the story. I don't know if you've ever been there. Those places that seem so final, like this is it. There is absolutely no way out. Death is that one experience that is part of our existential reality that none of us can avoid. And of course, April 15th is around the corner, so death and taxes, right? But that final place where it seems like this is it, I don't know if you've ever been there. Quite possibly some diagnosis, quite possibly a son or daughter or a friend, a situation that is out of control. You could feel the sense of powerlessness, the inability to change things. Have you ever been there? It's the tomb. And you go there and you recognize, here I am at the end. The gospel would have us linger there a while. In fact, last night, the vigil is about lingering. The entire season of Lent is about repentance and turning our hearts, not simply so that we could be sort of walk into the goodness of God, but also to turn away from those spaces, those tombs in our own lives that entrap us. Tombs like pride, the pride that keeps us from asking for help. Tombs like privilege that makes us blind to the plight of others. Tombs that keep us circled in. They may seem safe for a while, but make no mistake about it, it's a tomb. And Jesus invites us to consider this, that the stone has been rolled away from our own tombs. And it's okay to come out and play. It's okay to come out in the name of Jesus as a follower of Jesus, to follow our Lord in mission into the world, to those places where tombs continue to encapsulate concepts that continue to entrap individuals, perspectives that impoverish our sense of life. Those tombs, Jesus is saying to us, the stone has been rolled away. Come forward. That sense of unworthiness that batters your heart, that sense of unworthiness that makes you somehow live a life within a range of safety and comfort. Jesus says, come out of that tomb. I remember in seminary, our preaching professor said, you know, the goal during Easter is to not get in the way of Jesus. The story tells the gospel. And I think the gospel for today is that Jesus is inviting us to recognize that his empty tomb is also a moment of hope. It is a call to step forward and to recognize, like Mary, that we are sent from the tomb to a mission. And so Mary, the first evangelist, the one to proclaim this good news, invites us to remember that death is not final, that love is stronger than death, that love is stronger than any tomb. And so I ask you today, can you leave that place? You're being invited, I think, by the one who invites us to enter the abundance of God's goodness, to step beyond the comfort, to step beyond what hems us in, what keeps us away. You know, the allergic reaction we have to others that are not like us. Jesus invites us to go out into the world and to be people who say, the tomb is not necessary. We have been set free. The gospel of Jesus Christ has called us to go to those spaces where people are encased in systems of injustice, to cry out in the name of Jesus. The stone has been rolled away. The good news of Easter, of this time, is that we are called to be an Easter people, invited not simply to believe and understand as the disciples, but also to live out this mission. And it begins in those quiet, intimate spaces where no one sees, but it also goes public in a way that promises to transform the world. As Paul reminds us, Jesus kept showing up, first to a small group, then to 500, then to a massive crowd. Jesus keeps showing up through us, through you, through me, through this community, through embrace, by the grace we extend our neighbors, by the hope that we proclaim in dark times. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You'll get used to it. You have to believe it in your heart and trust it and recognize that this freedom is something we grow into, that this truth is something that we embody, that it is this grace that carries us. So, alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.